Accession number 10434, Rule 4.
Well, 24 hours leave was all right for those who live within a reasonable distance of London. They could just go home. But it was no use to us from Scotland and many other places. And the result was that the railway transport office was in Victoria Station was attacked and broken into, and blank leave passes stolen, and then a procession formed and marched to Whitehall to the War Office, and we got there, and I remember hearing somebody smashing a window, and we both said, look, we're going to get out of this, so we did, and that was it.
Who did you say that to?
Pardon? To my friend.
Who was he?
Who joined up with me.
So you were in the procession?
Yes, but we left it then, and we went and got into a YMCA for the night, and we got away the next day to Germany.
Did you take part in the break-in and Victoria Station?
No, when they, that was just a part of the group again. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of people in Victoria Station, and it was just those near the front that did this, you see.
Did you see them do it?
Oh, well, yes, we knew that this was happening because they were smashing windows and so on to get in.
Did police come?
No idea.
So you didn't see anybody arrested?
No, no.
What was your attitude towards the Germans whom you were fighting? Did you hate them or respect them or what?
This is so different. Early in the war, they were known as the Boche or the Hun. We only knew them as Jerry. And We were really sorry for some of the prisoners we took, because they were so obviously ill-equipped and ill-fed as compared with us.
Did their age seem any different to you?
Did they?
Did their age seem any different to you?
I don't think, I know, there were a lot of, I mean, we were only 19, and I think they were much the same.
We hear about the fraternisation that sometimes took place very early on in the war. Was there anything of that type of thing that you noticed?
During the war?
That you noticed yourself in the
No,
article?
No, no. And of course in Germany after the armistice it was very much frowned upon. I mean, there was a notice sent out there was to be no fraternisation, but that just didn't work. I mean, I just, for the 6 weeks I was in Cologne, I just become part of this German family. And they were delighted, of course, because I got my rations every day. And I was able to share them with them.
Can you remember their names?
It was a dentist called Reip, R-E-I-P.
Did you correspond with them after the war?
No, no. And then the second time I went back, I was sent to the flat of a German industrialist, an elderly man, and a very Prussian-looking type. And when I went to his door with my card, and of course he had already been told that somebody coming, he asked me what my job was in civilian life. And I knew that the German was Buchhalter Revisor. And so I told him this, so I was invited to come in then. If I'd said I was a labourer, he wouldn't have looked so happy, I suppose. So he and his wife were there, and after I'd been there for a little time, he told me that he and his wife were going away for a few days' holiday, and the maid would be left. And he looked at me full in the eye and said, "And the hound." He had a big dog. So the hound was very friendly, and the maid was a bit scared being on her own, but after a day or two she realised that she wasn't in any harm.
Why do you think the Germans collapsed in the last push at Ypres?
Oh, they had had, number one, tremendous casualties throughout the war, and number two, they knew that their people at home were next to starving. I mean, we relied to a great extent on the parcels of food that we got from home. But they had nothing like that.
Did you ever think the Germans might win the war?
No.
Even in March
1918? No. Yes. You see, in March 1918, and I mentioned this in my story, there was a rumour get round, whether it was spread officially or not, I don't know, that we were retiring in order to bring the Germans into a situation where they would be in a bag, and then we would come round from either side, and that would be the finish. And that was that rumour spread a lot, and therefore, although we realised that we're retiring all the time, we thought it was all done on purpose, not knowing. Not the private soldier, not knowing that we're greatly outnumbered.
But even at that time, in March 1918, you didn't think the Germans could...
No. And when we went up to Ypres, well, the Germans broke through again, but they broke through the Portuguese. And the British divisions were able to come in time to stop them. And I think there was a feeling then that the Germans wouldn't succeed.
What was the relationship between the men and the officers like in the British Army, from your own personal experience?
Well, it's the same in civilian life. You get certain people who are unpopular and would always be unpopular. And it happened in the cases in the army that there were some officers that, I wouldn't say they were detested, but they weren't liked. And that was the end of it. I mean, there was no... you see, stories got around at one time that I think are completely false, that Harry Lauder's son was shot by his own men. Well, that I think is absolute nonsense, and I think has been proved to be nonsense. But I never met with anything like that at all.
For what time?
And many of the officers were held in very high regard.
For what type of reasons might an officer not be liked by the men?
He would be... somebody got into trouble, perhaps, and it would be felt that he was too severely punished. It might be, I remember one person, a captain, who was relieved of his command, and he was made scout officer. Now, a scout officer is usually a second lieutenant. And so he was looked on by the troops as being... he was a very military-looking type, but he was a very poor soldier. He was frightened and showed it, and was held in very poor regard. But I can't think of anyone else like that.
Conversely, what kind of reasons might an officer be very much respected for?
Oh, his obvious leadership qualities. And that he was prepared to lead and not expect other people to be doing what he didn't want to do. And his general attitude to people, his interest in people, so on.
Were any of the officers regarded as people who were out to win high awards, such
no.
as Victoria Cross?
No. I don't think anybody, officers or other ranks, were interested in decorations at all, because so many of them were just by chance. I mean, amongst other ranks, you could only be recommended for a decoration if an officer had seen something.
Was there much regimental pride of being in the Royal Scots?
Oh, I think so. Yes. Yes, very definitely. I've got a friend that I was speaking to on the phone last night. He's 3 years older than me, or nearly 3 years older. And he's when he goes out to the battlefields, he still wears his Glengarry. And he lives for the Royal Scots.
Looking back on it all, do you think it was all worthwhile?
I think, as far as I was concerned, I think it was a privilege to have been able to experience this and survive. In a broad sense, I think it was absolutely dreadful that millions of people had to die, and that so many died unnecessarily because of bad generalships. Now, I'm not speaking generally of generals being detested or anything like that, but there were some terrible mistakes made in the Somme in 1916. But the thing is that in war and in battles, things happen so quickly that mistakes are bound to be made, and lives lost unnecessarily.
So whilst you were actually there in 1918, you and your comrades didn't have a grievance against the top command?
No. I have always been a great admirer of Douglas Haig, who has been pilloried by television, press, all the rest of it. I think I think everybody that I knew had a great regard for Douglas Haig. And even when he issued his final notice about backs to the wall, there can be no further retreat and so on, people still felt that he had to be supported. Haig was up against it with Lloyd George, who was a rascal, and he was up against it with so many of the French. And of course, when the Somme took place, the French army had mutinated, to a considerable extent because of their tremendous losses. I mean, with their country being occupied, it was a different matter for them altogether.
What were relationships like between British and French troops?
British and French troops? We never saw very much of them, very little, in fact. I couldn't express an opinion on that.
Do you think participating in the First World War changed your attitude towards life?
Definitely.
In what way?
That I accepted things that, whether I felt they were unfair or anything like that, I just accepted them. I think it built up character.